Psalm 106, please. Psalm 106. If you don't have your Bible, if you can read the fine print, usually there's a pew Bible there somewhere in front of you, I hope. Psalm 106. So read along with me here. Psalm 106, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. And my topic this morning is, I hope, with the help of the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So pray with me that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our service today. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us and keeping us and watching over us. And thank you for our family and friends and this church. And thank you for all the blessings of life, Lord. Thank you for this country where we still have freedom. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit use me. God, I pray that you'd forgive me and cleanse me and wash me in your blood this morning. And God, that you would have the right of way here in the service and that the name of Christ would be honored and lifted up. And God, that we would be humbled. God, make us to be thankful. Cause your face to shine on us today, Lord. Thank you for the Sunday school class. And what a sweet time of fellowship it was. I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us in this time. And if God, someone's lost, that the Holy Spirit would convict them and draw them. And God, as Christians, we draw closer to you. Would be my prayer in Jesus' name and amen. You know, giving thanks is not something we should do just once a year. It's something we ought to do every day of our life, isn't it? And we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for. If you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you certainly have much to be thankful for. If He saved you, you have something to be thankful for. If He's made you a new creature and given you a new heart, you have something to be thankful for. The psalmist said, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and has set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Did he bring you out of the miry pit, out of the miry clay? Behind us, if you're saved today, behind us is a horrible pit. It's a place of disgrace. It's a dunghill. But ahead of us is a glorious future. Ahead of us is eternal life and heaven and Jesus Christ forever. Ahead of us is going to be a joint heir with the Son of God. So you've got something. If you're saved today, you've got something to be thankful for. The Bible says here in our passage that we looked at, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for, that word for there, you could say that's because. Because he is what?
Good.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because he is good. Our God is great. And if God is great, then his mercy is great. And if God is great, his power is great. And if God is great, his love is great. And we have something to thank God for this morning. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. I just have 3 points this morning. Number one, thanking God. Number two, realizing who God is. And number three, obeying God. Obeying God. So number one, let's look at this one. Number one is thanking God. Verse one says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord, shouldn't we? We should praise the Lord. You know, I think it was Vance Havner said that the Christians, a lot of times they go to ball games and yell like Comanches and come to church and sit like wooden Indians. Well, that's truth. And I'm not trying to encourage excitement, but every once in a while we ought to get excited. Every once in a while we ought to praise the Lord. It's kind of a sad, I'm not so sure we won't give an answer to that. I'm not so sure we won't give an answer for getting excited over a ball game and not getting excited about God. I'm not sure we're not going to answer for that. We ought to praise the Lord. We've got something to be thankful for, don't we? 6 times the Bible uses this phrase, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I looked it up this morning. I found 6 times that's in the Bible. Almost word for word, if not word for word. So we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. A spirit-filled Christian. Now you might be a Christian, but you might not be spirit-filled. But a spirit-filled Christian should be a thankful Christian. A spirit-filled Christian should be a thankful Christian. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is, you ever heard people say, well, I just don't know what the will of God is. Well, I'll give you one right here. Here it is. If you don't know anything else about the will of God, I'm going to give it to you right here. Here's a good starting point for you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. We ought to be a thankful people, shouldn't we? Amen. Christians ought to be thankful people. If nobody else has got anything to be thankful about, and they do, by the way, Christians ought to be thankful. Christians ought to be thankful. You know, many people pray, but a lot of people don't give thanks. I was reading this morning about Jesus healing those 10 lepers. Only one of them came back and gave thanks. There's a lot of people. One illustration said that there's been ships get in trouble out at sea, and the whole crew prayed. But when they made it, nobody thanked God. That's probably true, isn't it? We ought to be a thankful people. In everything, give thanks. I'm here to remind you this morning and remind myself also that we need to be thankful. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you counted your blessings lately? Have you counted your blessings? Or have you just looked on all the bad things that happen? Bad things happen, don't they? Times are difficult right now. Bad things happen to people, and we go through difficulties. All of us do. We have health problems and money problems and all kinds of problems, and we all do. But have you counted your blessings? How would you like to go through the problems that we're all experiencing one way or another and not have some of the things that God's blessed us with? Wouldn't that be hard? There's people going through exactly what you're going through, and they don't even have a house to live in, or they don't have a car to drive, or they don't have any groceries. How would you like to be in that shape? And they're going through the same thing you're going through, but they don't know where their next meal's coming from. Do you know that? What I'm trying to tell you is, you need to count your blessings, don't you? You need to count your blessings. I mean, I've God has been good to me. I told Evelyn to come up the road, I don't think you can outgive God. I don't think you can. And he's been good to me. And I need to count my blessings. I need to count my blessings. We need to be thankful. Christians need to be thankful. It's a good testimony for a Christian to be a thankful person, isn't it? It's a bad testimony for a Christian just go around griping and grumbling all the time. Can I say that? Need to be careful about that. Secondly, we need to realize who God is. If you look at verse 2, it says, "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise?" Our God is a big God, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a big God. It's beyond our comprehension. There's people that try to put God in their little... I was thinking all last week, there's a lot of folks, including Baptist folks, Christian people, I believe they're Christian people, Baptist people, but they come to God with a theory and they try to make the Bible or God fit their theory. And you're going about it the wrong way, aren't you? God is a big God. In Romans chapter 11, the Bible says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" In other words, God is so big and so immense and so wise and so great that we can't even explain him. And all we know about him, and it's enough, it's all we wants us to know about him, is in this book right here. And when you step out of this book right here, you're in trouble when you start talking about God. But he's told us enough, hadn't he? I've heard people say, "Now when we get to heaven, we'll know this." I don't know if that's true or not. We might. If he decides to tell us, we might know it more than... I know we'll know more than we know, but there may be some things... Listen, our God's big, isn't it? Paul asked this question, "Who hath been his counselor?" Who gave God some advice? Well, you know the answer, don't you? No one. God doesn't need our advice, does he? He doesn't. I'll give you another one. Don't let me hurt your feelings now. Not only does he not need our advice, he doesn't ask our advice. How about that? You know, when the kids was little, we had a saying around our house. It went something like this: "Because I said so." And I think sometimes God just says that.
That's right.
We serve a big God, don't we? And let me tell you something else. Don't get mad at me now. Not only is he like that, it's great he's like that. Not only is he the boss, it's great that he's the boss. We couldn't even begin to talk about his mighty works. That's what the Bible says here. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? We don't even understand it, do we? I tell you what, if you want a blessing sometime, don't do it now, but if you want a blessing sometime, you go back over there in the book of Job and start reading there in the chapter 38 and start reading what God
says to Job. He asks Job a lot of questions, and you know what? Job can't answer a one of them. Our God is big, isn't he? There's nothing gets past him. Nothing gets past him. Who can show forth all his praise? You know, all of nature praises God, doesn't it? You step out on the porch in the morning and listen to the birds, and they're praising God. When I opened the window on that beach condominium we were in the other day, and I heard the waves lapping the sand, it was a praise to God. When the sun in the morning, Evelyn's never seen this, but in the sun in the morning when it crept up over the ocean, and the beams were shooting out over the ocean, and I'm sitting there thinking, my goodness, man could never paint something even like that. And I just think creation praises God. All of creation praises God. Everything does except us. We need to. We serve a great God, don't we? Isaiah 40:22 says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." Our God is so immense and so big and so powerful and so great and so glorious. And we're just like grasshoppers. And why in the world he'd look down on us and save our soul and send his son to die for sinners, I don't know. Our God can, the Bible says that our God, Paul speaking about Abraham, said our God can call those things which be not as though they were. We serve a powerful God. And yet, he loves his own. He loves his own. Psalm 139. If you want to, hold your place and look over there. Psalm 139, verse 17. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 17, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men." He loves us. Amen. He loves us. The psalmist, David, he wrote this. He said, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me." Why in the world would God think of us? You say, "Well, because I'm such a good person." That's not true. He loves us and thinks of us in spite of ourselves. We're like that infant that the Bible talks about. When God walked by us, we were polluted in our own blood, been cast off into the field. In other words, as a baby, no. Every once in a while, today, in the world we live in, every once in a while you hear about them finding a baby in a bathroom or finding a baby in a dumpster. We were like that baby. The umbilical cord was still attached, and it hadn't been cleaned. It's still a mess. The baby was a mess, laying there in the field. And the Bible says God walked by and said, "Live." I'm going to tell you something, that's what we are. We're just no good rotten sinners. And one day God walked by and said, "Live." Why did he do that? Because we're so pretty and clean and nice? No. The answer is because of his grace. And because he wanted to. He wanted to. All of creation praises God. The prophet Jeremiah said this, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." It's an everlasting love, isn't it? God loved me. Listen, I don't know if you understand this, and I don't think I understand it too much, but I know the Bible says it. He loved me before the worlds were formed. How thankful we should be that the God of heaven looked down on us with mercy. There's an old song that says, "He knew me, yet he loved me." He knew me, yet he loved me. Psalm 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." If you're not saved today, if you'll call on him, he'll be merciful to you. You know what the Bible says about our God? I just read it to you. He's plenteous in mercy.
Yes.
You know what that means? That means he's not... It doesn't mean he's just a little bit merciful. It means he's plenteous in mercy. It means he's overrunning in mercy. He's pressed down and heaped over in mercy. He's looking to show mercy. "For thou, Lord, art good." We got a good God, don't we? Well, I just read to you, he thinks about us all the time. Isn't that good? He's plenteous in mercy. He's forgiving. The Bible, I read it to you, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." Ready to forgive. I don't have to go and say, "Oh, God." No, he's ready. He's ready to forgive. He's like the prodigal's dad. The prodigal's father was, the prodigal's father, he wasn't just ready to forgive, he was looking to forgive. He was looking down the road, wasn't it? And we're like the prodigal. So first, we need to be thankful people. "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for a little while."
No.
That ain't what it said, is it? You know what's amazing? There's a lot of things amazing. But one thing that's amazing is that his mercy endures forever. And a million years from now, he'll be just as merciful as he was the day he saved me. His mercy endures forever. It endures forever. You know, sometimes our mercy runs out, doesn't it? Let me ask you something. Have you ever said about somebody, "That's it, I'm not fooling with them people no more"? We all have, haven't we? God said his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. So we need to, number one, be thankful. And then number two, we need to understand who God is. We serve a great God. And it's just his mercy that we're not consumed. And we deserve hell. We're sinners. And we're rebels against God. And yet he still had mercy on us and still has mercy on us. And thirdly, We need to obey.
Verse 3 of Psalm 106. Blessed, that means happy, doesn't it? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Do you know it pays to live for God? It pays to serve the Lord. It pays to be a Christian. There's a joy and a peace and a hope that comes in being a Christian you can't get any other way. There's blessings from being a Christian. There's blessings of serving the Lord. There's blessings of living right. You don't hear much about that these days, but the Bible says the way of the transgressor is what? The way of the transgressor is hard. Now I work out in the world, and I work around people in the construction trade, and I hear all kinds of things you can't imagine, and most of them I can't repeat. But I hear all kinds of things, and I work with people who they just make it as hard on themselves as they can. They're drinking and carousing and all kinds of stuff in their life, and then they wonder why their life's such a mess. I don't know why I got that DUI. Well, I can explain that to you if you got a few minutes. I don't know why my wife left me. Well, if you'll let me talk to you, I can give you some ideas. I've just been around you here about 5 minutes. I got a pretty good idea why she left you. The way of the transgressor is hard, isn't it? We need to obey God. Even Christians need to obey God. I mean, what I mean by that is, as a Christian, you don't just... Listen, God, when we're birthed into the kingdom of God, when we're saved, when we're born again, God doesn't just pat us on the bottom and let us go. He's our Father, isn't it? And He's our Heavenly Father. And, you know, these days we have these deadbeat dads. You know what a deadbeat dad is, don't you? A deadbeat dad is a man that gets a woman pregnant and she has a baby and he runs off, or he don't take care of them. That's kind of plain language, but that's just the way it is. That's a deadbeat dad. Well, our Heavenly Father, He takes care of us, doesn't He? He's no deadbeat dad. He's going to make sure that we do right. And He's going to discipline us, the Bible says, chasten us when we do wrong. He's going to let us know about it. I've never understood Christians who could live just like the devil. I've never understood that. There's something wrong with that, by the way. We need to obey God. Jesus said this, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 3 of the Psalm 106, blessed are they. You want to have a blessed life, then obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Quit trying to run with the hare and run with the hounds at the same time. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. I'm going to have you turn a couple places and we'll be done. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, a lot of people struggle with assurance of their salvation. A lot of people do. And I always tell people, if you struggle with assurance of your salvation, you need to read through the epistle of 1 John. Read through it. Study it. Underline the phrases that stand out to you.
And God, I believe if you ask God to give you some assurance and you study through that, I believe God will help you with assurance of salvation. But the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" I want to tell you today, I want to tell you this morning, that if you're saved, you shouldn't find living the Christian life to be a grief to you. If you find living the Christian life to be a real problem for you, then there is a problem. I often fail the Lord, I sin, I do things I shouldn't, I say things I shouldn't, I think things I shouldn't. But I want to tell you something, there's a part of me that wants to do right. There's a part of me that wants to serve the Lord. There's a part of me that is bothered when I don't do right. And I don't find it grievous to serve the Lord, I find it grievous when I don't do right. So we need to obey God. We need to obey God. If you want to have a blessed life, if you want to have the blessings of God in your soul, then you need to obey the Lord. You know what I found out as a kid? I found out if I wanted to have blessings at the house, I had to obey Dad. I can tell you right now, at my house, the way of the transgressor was very hard. My dad didn't know about time out. Listen, our God, he wants us to obey him, doesn't he? He wants us to obey him. If we want to have the blessings of the Lord, we need to obey him. Let me, one more place, please, I think. Galatians, maybe two. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, I hate this being videoed. I feel like I'm on TV and I don't like it. But I know there's some people that want to see it. I don't know why they want to see me, but I don't like being on. It always bugs me. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. I do appreciate Tim and Nita doing that. I know there are people that are asking to be able to, because of this COVID thing, aren't be able to get out to the service and stuff. And it's a blessing to be able to bring it to them. In chapter 6 of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, please. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Let me tell you something. You do know that's true, don't you? Do you know that's true? Do you know that's a law? This is a law right here. Tim, how many times can I do this before it stops falling like that? How many?
Forever, gravity. It's a law.
It's a law. That's not going to change, is it? Listen, that verse I read to you, that's a law. That's a law. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I don't know about you guys, but I'm telling you, in my life, I've prayed for a crop failure. And I do believe God has shown me mercy in a lot of ways. But I'm still, I can tell you, I am reaping what I have sowed. Without a doubt. When I was ornery, I'll tell you a quick story. I was ornery when I was a teenager, worse than ornery. And we used to just do all kinds of stuff, bad stuff. And one day I went down to the mailbox when Evelyn and I first got married, and somebody had thrown an M80 or something in it, and it was just blowed flat. It was on like Halloween night or something, you know how kids do. And I went back up to the house and I told Evelyn, I said, well, we're going to have to buy a new mailbox. I said, somebody blew ours up last night. And she went off, you know, and I just sat there until she got done. And I said, well, I said, I had that one coming. I'm just telling you, you reap what you sow, don't you? You reap what you sow. Verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh, do you know even a Christian can sow to their flesh? He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We just need to do right. We need to do good. And in one of these days, we're gonna reap what we sowed. We're going to reap what we sowed. God's going to make it all right, isn't he? He's not a stingy paymaster. He's going to make it right. So let me just give you some closing thoughts here. Number one, let us be a more thankful people.
Yes.
Let us be a more thankful people. Even more thankful than we are.
Yes.
I hope when you go out of here this morning, you, in your heart, you want to say, I want to be more thankful. I want to be more thankful. And listen, if we all wanted to, we could write down a list of stuff we could gripe about. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about counting your blessings and being more thankful. Think of his mercy. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Think of the price that he paid for our redemption. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Think about if you died right now, you'd be in heaven instead of hell. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Think about his long-suffering towards sinners. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Think about, I heard Spurgeon, I didn't hear him, I read it. He's been dead a long time. I read Spurgeon said this one time. He said, you ought to thank God you was raised in a country where they preached and the Bible was there and there was churches everywhere. You could have been born in a hut over in a village somewhere where they didn't have a Bible and they didn't have a church and they didn't have a preacher. We ought to thank God that we was raised in this country. Now, as bad as she is, we still have a lot. Number two, not only do we need to be a thankful people, number two, we need to be a hopeful people. We need to be a hopeful people. Look at what he has done for us by saving us and keeping us. And the Bible says this in Romans 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We ought to be a hopeful people. I have a hope. Do you? I have a hope. This life's not all there is. I have a hope for my children. I have a hope for my loved ones. I have a hope for this community. I have a hope for our nation. I have a hope. Don't let the devil get you so discouraged, and don't let yourself get so discouraged and the world beat you down that you don't understand that we serve a great God, a big God, who's still able to do great and mighty things. And don't ever give up. Don't ever give up.